The verses that Guy read are actually in this 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And if you look at verse 7, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7, then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. So that's Psalm 105 that he is actually reciting. So I'll just read verses 7 to 11. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And on this weekend of Thanksgiving, when we take time to have meals with friends or family and just express our thanks just for what we have, we give you thanks this morning. And I know, Lord, that we can't thank you enough for what you've done for us, but we do thank you today, and we will continue to thank you as we live, continue to live here on earth. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. David's desire to thank the Lord was because the Ark of the Covenant had been brought back to Jerusalem after over 20 years. In the days before Saul, before he had been appointed king, Israel had gone to war with the Philistines. And Israel was badly beaten by the Philistines, who killed 4,000 men. So the Jewish people thought if they brought the Ark of the Covenant with them to war, they would defeat the enemy. So they took the Ark. They carried into war, but things didn't work out because the Philistines captured the Ark. And then they killed 30,000 more men. It was a very bad day. The Philistines took the Ark, and then they put it in the house of Dagon. Dagon was their god. He was a statue. But the first night that the Ark was there, Dagon was toppled over by God. So the Philistines took the statue and stood it upright again. And then the second night, Dagon was toppled over, but his head was cut off and his hands were cut off by God. The Philistines were then afflicted with hemorrhoids, painful sores. So what they did, they said, we've got to get rid of this ark, send it back to Israel. So they put it on a cart, sent it back to Israel after having it for 7 months. And then when it reached the town of Kirjath-Jearim, it was put in the home of Abinadab. And it stayed there for 20 years, 20 long years. So now David is the king of Israel. Saul was killed. And David and his men brought back the ark back to the city of David. But there was a bit of a delay because when they were bringing the ark back, I guess the cart hit a rough patch and a man named Uzzah went and grabbed the ark to steady it, and God killed him right away because he shouldn't have touched the ark. David was, of course, very upset. So he left the ark in the home of Obed-Edom for 3 more months. So finally, after 21 years, the ark was brought back to the city of David, or as Jerusalem as we know today. And if you want to look at chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles, verse 25, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. Notice they had great joy. And if you read, I'll read verses 26 to 29 of chapter 15. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and the Chenaniah, the master of the song with the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord, shouting with sound of the cornet, and with trumpets and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. David was so joyous, he couldn't contain himself. And I know as Baptists, we say, oh, you're not supposed to dance. But he was happy, he was so joyous, dancing up and down. And as we go to chapter 16, in the first 6 verses, I won't read them, but it says the ark was put in the tent that David had erected. And then David made burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. And David blessed the people. He gave every man and woman a piece of bread, piece of meat, and a vessel of wine. And Levites were appointed to look after the ark and praise and thank God. And there was music again with harps and psalteries, cymbals and trumpets. This day was indeed a day for David and all the Jewish people to give thanks to the Lord. For 21 years, the high priest had not been able to go into the most holy place of the tabernacle to make an offering for the atonement of the sins of the people of Israel. Now, once again, the high priest will be able to go into the most holy place of the tabernacle and make a sin offering to the Lord for the people of Israel. This was a joyous occasion for the nation. And David expressed his joy and his gratitude by delivering this psalm to the Lord in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. You know, shouldn't we believers have a desire to thank the Lord every day for what he's done for us? We don't need to rely on a high priest to enter a most holy place to offer a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus did that for us once, right? When he went to the cross. He offered his body as a sin offering for our transgressions. Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And as born-again believers, we have access to God through Jesus Christ every single day, 24/7, anytime, any day. Let us therefore for come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. Aren't you glad you don't have to wait until some man, some holy man of God, offers a sacrifice for your sin? It's already been done. You know, if somebody were to give you a gift for your birthday, and you show your appreciation, you say, oh, thanks, for I really needed that. Thanks for that. And you might thank them a few times for the gift, but you wouldn't thank them every day, right? It would start getting a bit tiresome. Yeah, you thanked me already. I don't need to know anymore. That would be a little much. But the gift that God has given you and me is the salvation of our soul from judgment. We have received a gift. It's an eternal gift that words cannot adequately describe what God has given us. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's 2 Corinthians 9:15. You and I have received a gift that has given each one of us victory over the grave through Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15:57. You see, you and I are to give thanks to the Lord always because he has given us so much out of his love for us and his kindness. And his desire is that we enjoy a future, eternal future, one day in his kingdom. And as we look at verses 8 to 11, there are four reasons we're to thank the Lord. The first is being we can speak to him. If you look at the first part of verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name. Call upon the Lord in prayer, thank him for everything, thank him every time you sit down for a meal, thank him for loving you, thank him for forgiving you of all your sin and transgressions, thank him for keeping you safely in his hands. Thank him for your wife, for your husband, thank him for your parents, thank him for your home. Thank him for your job. Thank him for your church family. Thank him for your home or your apartment. Just talk to the Lord. Thank him in every situation. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You know, in those times when you're suffering under something, whether it's a sickness or a trial, or and you have concerns, but you ask him for help. How do you ask him? You ask him with a heart of thanksgiving, not bitterness, not anger. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your request be made known unto God. Not only are we to talk to the Lord with thanks, we're to sing to him with thanks. The first part of verse 9, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. You know, we thank the Lord by talking to him with song. When we sing hymns on Sunday morning and Wednesday evenings, we're expressing our gratitude to him by singing these hymns. You know, these hymns, they touch on so many subjects that are part of our faith. It would take too long to go into all the different subjects that writers have brought up as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But when we sing hymns, we're singing to the Lord with thankful hearts. And what about the Psalms? There are so many psalms of thanksgiving that we can read out loud to the Lord. It says in Ephesians 5:19 that by singing hymns and speaking psalms, we make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A second reason we're to give thanks to the Lord is we can speak about him. Not only can we speak to him, but we can speak about him. Look at this second half of verse 8. Make known his deeds among the people. Isn't that what witnessing is to other people? When we speak about the Lord to others, we tell them what he has done for us and what he can do and what he has done for them. We tell them that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for their sin so they could be saved. They could be forgiven of their sin and have eternal life. We make known his deeds among the people. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus healed a leper. He begged for help. And after Jesus healed the man of his leprosy, he said, don't say anything to anyone else what I did to you. Mark 1:44, and saith unto him, see thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But the man could not contain himself. He couldn't keep quiet. He had to tell others about Jesus Christ and what he did for him. Verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. You know, I can only imagine how excited this man must have been. I don't know if you've ever seen the effects of leprosy, but it's terrible. Your fingers fall off and your toes fall off, your skin. It's pretty awful. So we had this man. I don't know how long he had leprosy, but he must have been in pretty bad shape. Maybe his hands were all gnarled with parts of his fingers missing. Then all of a sudden, bang, he has normal skin. He's got all his fingers and toes. He's got all his hair. Can you imagine how thankful he would have been? I shouldn't have looked. I just, when I mentioned hair, somebody was, okay, but he must have been thankful that Jesus cured him. After suffering for many months and even years, he could saw that his skin was healthy and shining, his fingers and toes. You know, I don't think I could have kept quiet if God, Jesus, had done that for me. The leper who was made whole, he spoke to others about Christ. He told them of his wondrous works. And that's what verse 9 says we're to do. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. We're not to keep the gospel of salvation to ourselves. We're to make God's word known to the people, God's deeds among the people, and we're to talk about his wonderful, wondrous works. What are his wondrous works that he's done for you? He's sanctified you. He's cleansed you from the scarlet stain of sin. He's made you as white as snow. He's saved you from hell by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. If you were a teenager living at home, and your dad surprised you on your birthday by giving you an expensive brand new car. Hope some of you teenagers don't get any ideas in here. But after thanking him 1,000 times, wouldn't you tell all your friends how kind your father has been to you and what he's done for you? Wouldn't you make known his kindness to others? God has given us a gift that we do not deserve. But he did this because he's kind to us, because of his kindness and love for us. Let us show our thankfulness by speaking to others and by making known his deeds and his wondrous works to all who will hear us. With thankful hearts, thirdly, verse 10 tells us we can rejoice in him. First part of verse 10, glory ye in his holy name. Glory means to be exceedingly joyful. It means to rejoice. The very mention of the holy name of God should bring us feelings of joy and happiness. Our country's in bad shape right now. Do you not agree? You know, things are just getting worse and worse every day. There seems to be a hatred for God that is being more vocal as people express hatred towards Jewish people. More and more men and women and children are getting caught up in sinful lifestyles that are an abomination to the Lord. But you know, when I turn my mind back to our great God in heaven, when I read about him in the Bible, All those disheartening things I read about or see in a YouTube video, they just kind of get pushed aside. Because I know that God is here. He's looking after me. He's looking after you, even though we can't see him. And all those who are doing wicked things right now, they're not going to get away with it, right? Because God is righteous. He's the righteous judge. Jeremiah has a couple of reassuring verses about glory and judgment. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. The second part of verse 10 says, those who seek the Lord are to rejoice in their hearts. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. The prophet Isaiah has given a call to all mankind to seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. That's Isaiah 55:6. And when Paul spoke to the Greeks in Athens, he told them to seek the Lord because he's not far from them. He said in Acts 17:27 that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. We have good reason to rejoice in our hearts because we have found the Lord. We have been saved from judgment. We've been saved from eternal death and delivered to eternal life in his kingdom. Psalm 40:16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. You know, when speaking to the 70 disciples who had returned after spreading the gospel in Galilee, Jesus told them what they should rejoice about. He said in Luke 10:20, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Isn't that the most important reason to rejoice? Your name is written in heaven. If you had trusted Christ as your Savior, you sought the Lord, you found him. And now your name is in the book of life forever and ever. Cannot be erased. It's not written in pencil where God, or it's not going to be crossed out. It's there forever. There's one more reason to give thanks to the Lord. It's my final point this morning, and that is we can depend on him. Verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. In Proverbs 1, we're told of those who scorn and do not fear God. They want nothing to do with God. They've refused his invitation to be saved. And when misfortune and trials come upon them, God's going to laugh at their calamity. He's going to mock them when fear grips their hearts. I'll just read Proverbs 1:24-29. It's important we get an understanding of what it means if you do not fear God. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, and when they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Aren't you glad you belong to the Lord? Aren't you glad you can turn to him? You can rely on his strength and not your own. For when you, as a child of God, when you seek his strength, he'll be there to get you through whatever storm you might go through. That is a good reason to thank the Lord, because you can depend on him. God wants you to trust in him, because he has the strength to deal with whatever it is you are going through. You just give him your burdens. You give him your trials, no matter how bad they seem. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Paul had strength to carry on, and we all know that all the struggles he had and the beatings and the trials. But he said, I can do all things through Christ with which strengtheneth me. He depended on the Lord, and that's what we are to do. We give thanks because we can depend on him. We find strength by the Spirit of God who dwells in each one of us as believers. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We must look to the Lord for his strength and not rely on our own abilities, because we are weak. As verse 11 says, we must seek the Lord's face and his strength continually, not just once in a while, continually, every day. Pray to the Lord, give me strength, Lord, to deal with this day and whatever trouble comes my way. Just give me strength. Psalm 138:3 says, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. So as we close, we're celebrating Thanksgiving. Some of us have had meals with family and friends or friends. It's a time to get together and enjoy a meal with one another. As Christians, we've been saved by faith in our Savior. And we have many reasons to give thanks to the Lord this weekend. But you see, our giving thanks isn't once a year. Our thanks should be something we do often. He's given us what no other person can do. You know, you go to the doctor and they cure you of whatever it is you have, but they're only giving you a few more years, right? Like, how many years do we spend on earth? But you see, he's given us eternal life. By his grace, he's given us an eternal life in his kingdom. And doesn't it make sense that we thank the Lord? You know, we've just touched on a few reasons to give him thanks. We can speak to him in prayer anytime, anywhere. We can speak to him of others, speak about him to others, that they too would be saved. We can rejoice in him as his adopted children, knowing that he loves us with a perfect love, an everlasting love. And we can depend on him every single day to give us strength to face whatever challenge comes our way. I'll just close with verses 11 and 12 from Psalm 30. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put on my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee. And not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks unto thee forever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we can meet here. Thank you that we can worship you and open your word. Thank you that we can sing many hymns that lift your name up, lift up the name of your Son, and also just rejoice in our salvation. Lord, I do pray that if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't trusted Jesus as their Savior, that they do so today. They need to understand that Jesus Christ is their only hope, and they must turn to him, confess their sin, and say, Lord, I need you. I'm a sinner. Will you please forgive me? And I trust, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, rose from the grave. He's in heaven with you right now, and I just trust him as my Savior. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, that the gospel is still there, and there are many chances for people to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, that each one of us as a believer would just have a heart for the lost. If we come across somebody in the coming days, that we would pass out a tract or share the gospel, tell them about the hope we have. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.